morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. Thank you for coming. I want to speak today about clouds. Read now, please.
This morning's reading is from Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud of testimony, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle for many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain for a few days over the tabernacle. According to the command of the Lord, they remained in the camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in the camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out.
Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
Well, as I've already mentioned, I'd like us to look at clouds. I don't know about you, but I like enjoy looking at clouds. And the other night, there was some fluffy clouds about, and suddenly there was a pink tint on all of them, and it was just beautiful. And it just reminded me of how great an artist our God is. And so I thought I would like to talk about clouds. Do you know where clouds are first mentioned in the Bible? Anybody any ideas? Sorry? No, before that. Yes, yeah. Genesis 9. If we read Genesis 9, after the flood, God promises not to flood the earth again. And he makes a covenant with Noah and with mankind so that that might never happen. And he said, I will place my bow in the cloud. And when you look upon the cloud, when you see the bow, I will remember my covenant. God says he will remember his covenant. And when I see a rainbow, I just say, thank you, Lord. Because it's a reminder, isn't it, that he has got that promise. He's said it forever, that he will not ever flood the earth again. When we've had a year like this year, we're grateful to know that. Because, you know, it has been fairly wet, hasn't it? But the other thing that I've probably said before to you, but I find interesting, is that the best rainbows are when there's the darkest clouds. If you look carefully, when you've got some really thick black clouds and the rainbow in front of it and the sun shining, that's when the rainbow's always at its brightest. And that's true for us, isn't it, sometimes? In life, we can be in situations that are fairly grim. And yet, we can rejoice as we remember our God. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18 talks about everything going wrong on the farm or wherever. And the crops disappearing, no crops in the land and everything else. Yet, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. In 1 Peter 1, it talks about the fact that we're going through trials. Trials that refine us. Trials that are more precious than gold that perisheth. So that we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need dark times in order to realize just how good God is. It's easy sometimes when we're sailing along and everything's going all right to neglect the Lord. Just think, well, what a good job I've done. We need sometimes dark times to cause us to come back to him and to draw near to him. That's the first time that clouds are mentioned. We go on to Exodus, and clouds are mentioned all over the place there. As the people were drawn out of Egypt, as Moses led them out, we find there in Exodus 13 that God has said that he would put a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead them. And he put that cloud between the Israelites and the Egyptians in order that the Israelites might pass through on dry ground through the Red Sea. And we find that all through Moses' life leading the people of Israel, there was a cloud or a fiery pillar by day or by night. And as Brian read to us, you know, the people of Israel followed God and his directions by how the cloud behaved. If the cloud stayed there, they stayed there. If the cloud moved, they moved. And that's how it was. And in Exodus 24, well, first of all, in Exodus 19, just before the Ten Commandments that we've been looking at and remembering there in our memory verses, God there had a time when Moses went up into the mountain and he was up in a cloud. God spoke to Moses in the cloud and met with him. And then in Exodus 24, we find there that when God was giving Moses all the instructions about the tabernacle and what to do, Moses was in a cloud along with the Lord. And all the instructions about what should go where and all the rest of it were given to Moses while he was in that cloud. And at the end of Exodus, we get to Exodus chapter 40, right at the end, and we find there that the cloud followed him again. I'll read it if you like. Exodus 40. Exodus 40, verse 34. It said, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward on their journey. But if the cloud went not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." So we have right through Exodus, all the people, if you like, governed by a cloud. What are we governed by? We trust it's God's word as being our sense of direction, that he will help us to go forward and all the rest of it. And so we find that in Exodus that Moses and the people of Israel were directed by God through a cloud. And we find that in the reading that Brian said about in Numbers as well. But Moses wasn't the only person who was involved in a cloud. Think about Elijah. What had happened with Elijah? He challenged the God at Baal. 450 priests of Baal against Elijah. That's what it looked like. But it reminds me of the fact that when David and Goliath were involved, David looked tiny compared to Goliath. But when you looked at the bigger picture with God standing by David, Goliath looked pretty small. And so it was with Elijah. There was a challenge. Elijah had prayed that there wouldn't be any rain. And there wasn't any rain for a long time. And then Elijah called the prophets of Baal and challenged them. And they had two bullocks slaughtered and put on altars and called for fire to come down. The prophets of Baal got quite excited in trying to get the fire to come down. Elijah didn't help really, because he sort of encouraged them by saying, well, perhaps he's asleep and all the rest of it to Baal. But it wasn't quite like that. But nothing happened. Then Elijah prayed, and fire came down and consumed the bullock and the altar. And the people acknowledged that God was in control, the God of Elijah. Then Elijah asked that there might be rain. You know, we don't really ask for that, do we? Not here. But I can imagine that, if you like, where Ben's wife's parents are, in Namibia, is it? Yeah, yeah. But in the desert that they were in, you know, they wouldn't see a cloud practically all year. You know, not like us. And so we find that Elijah was there and he sent a lad to look out to see if there was a cloud coming because he prayed for rain. He sent him 7 times. And on the 7th time, there was a cloud in the distance, the size of a man's hand. And we find then that Elijah said to Ahab, get going, because there's going to be a lot of rain. And there was much rain. And God gave Elijah the strength to cope through the rain and to get back there. Ahab got on his chariot and got home as well. But you know what it's like when it does really rain, especially after it's been a dry spell. The mud absolutely sticks to your boots. And, you know, you grow quite a few inches if you're not careful. And at the same time, you'll find that you're hampered. You're struggling. The other day, I managed to find myself in some fairly sticky mud. And unfortunately, with my 2 toes gone from the front, my wellies don't hold on quite so well as they normally do. So I left one of them behind at one stage, and it was a bit of a mess. So anyway, I managed to get out in the end. But, you know, mud does cling to you, and it hinders you. Elijah was able to get away. God intervened. A small cloud, came much rain. God used the cloud to help Elijah and to work his providence in these things. Clouds again, Matthew 17, Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah were there. God, through the Lord Jesus, appeared in a cloud, along with Moses and Elijah, to the disciples. And we find there that, you know, there was a cloud involved again, and God's majesty was in the cloud. So often, we find the majesty of God in a cloud. And then we go on to Acts 1. Lord Jesus, after he risen from the dead, going back to heaven, he went back in a cloud. And the 2 men in white apparel said, you know, why, ye men of Israel, why stand ye here gazing? He's going to come again in like manner. You know, are we ready for that when he comes again? That's really the question I'm going to ask this morning. Are we all ready for when Jesus is coming? There's all sorts of different theological experts telling us how and when he's coming and everything else. And we get different versions, and quite a lot of them are already gone because the time that was suggested is already passed. What we do know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. We don't know when he's coming. He's coming on the clouds, we believe. That's what Scripture says. But what we need to be is ready. Do each one of us here this morning know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Are we ready for his coming? And if we are ready, are we concerned that others around us might be ready as well? Do we share the good news of the gospel? Do we live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God, honoring to him, and through it able to show others the Lord Jesus, a small reflection of him? in Revelation, right at the end of the scripture, it says, "Come, Lord Jesus, even so, come." Are we ready for his coming? Are we ready for that cloud? That's the question I'll ask this morning. And I'll leave it there because that's the important bit, isn't it? As you look on clouds, just remember, as you see a rainbow, God's promise and his covenant with us. As you look on clouds, remember that he's coming again in a cloud. We don't know when. And I would just ask, are we ready for when he comes? Amen. So we'll sing number 424, please. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for favored sinners slain, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. 424, please.